and out. And all he wants is my worship. And all he's looking for is somebody to believe him. That's all I've got to do. You want to be energized today? Creflo Dollar said this week, he said, you know, if I can keep my mind off my problems and get my mind stayed up on the Lord, I'll have peace. Come on, church. Stay your mind upon him this morning as we begin to worship and praise God. Are you ready to do that? I just thank God for his power. I love that. For he energizes those who get tired. They that wait upon the Lord, we're going to mount up like eagles, and we're going to soar. Lift your hand and worship him this morning. Father God, we magnify you. We recognize who you are, your power, your authority. Oh, Lord God, we love you. Father God, thank you for energizing everybody here, Father God. We don't have to be a bunny with a battery, or we don't have to drink something from the world to be energized. Lord God, a spiritual shot this morning for everybody who's faithful to come and to stay focused on you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's worship and praise him this morning, church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Only a God like you, only a God like you, only a God like you.
Yeah.
Only a God like you, only a God like you, only a God like you. For the praises of man, I will never ever stand. For the kingdoms of this world, I'll never give my heart away. Shout my praise, my allegiance and devotion. My heart's desire and all emotion. Go to serve the man who died upon that tree. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings I bow my knees and give my everything. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything.
Do I bow my knee and sing,
my everything, to only my maker, my father, my savior, redeemer, restorer, rebuilder, rewarder, to only a God like you, to I give my praise. For the praises of man, I will never, ever stand. For the kingdoms of this world, I'll never give my heart away, nor shout my praise. My allegiance and devotion, my heart's desire and all emotion, go to serve the man who died upon that tree. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings do I bow my knees and give my everything. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings do I bow my knees and give my everything. To only my Maker,
come on,
my Father, my
come
Savior,
on.
Redeemer, Restorer, Rebuilder, Rewarder, to only a God like you, do I give my praise.
Only a God, come on now.
Only a God like you, only a God like you,
yeah.
Only a God like you, only a God like you, only a God like you.
To only my Maker, come on.
To only my Maker, my Father, my Savior, Redeemer, Restorer, Rebuilder, Rewarder, to only a God like you, do I give my praise.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Come on, lift your hands and praise Him. Oh, our Maker, Rewarder, Rebuilder. There's that word, Restorer again. Amen. Hallelujah. But I don't know about you, but sometime I just feel like running, and it's not running from the devil either. Amen. It's running for the Lord. Hallelujah. I just feel like running today. I just feel like declaring that I am free. Come on, are you free today? What's that verse? Whom the Son sets free, what? Who set you free? All right.
the battle's won. Through you I'm not afraid. Through you the cross is paid. Through you there's victory. Because of you my heart sings, I am free.
Are you ready? Church,
whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
I am free to run.
I am free.
Just don't know how hard this week's been. Oh, glory to God, get over it. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Well, how can I keep on singing? By just doing it. Amen. Just do it. No matter. Just do it. Amen. Because of who he is. And the greater one. Come on, remember that we read about. The greater one is on the inside of us. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah.
There is an endless song echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring. And though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. Can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say no? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your praise? I know I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my can sing in the troubled times, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing cause you pick me up.
Yes, come on.
Sing for to them. I can sing cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath. Sing, Lord, I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I can sing in the troubled time, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing cause you pick me up.
There you go.
Sing cause you're there. I can sing cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath. Sing, for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say no?
I had somebody say just earlier today that we were encouraging somebody on the praise and worship team and talking about, Miss Darlene said, well, you know, said I'm a professional artist. And when my grandkids do a picture for me, when they bring it to me, I don't point out all their imperfections. I love everything they're doing for me. I don't look at their imperfections. I look at what they're doing, and I look at the heart, the motive behind it. And, you know, that's like your praise and your worship, you know. And, you know, it's just like, hey, I don't know this morning whether my head's been in gear or whatever it is, but I want you to know that God's not going to look at me this morning and say, you know what, Laverne, you just did a horrible job today worshiping me. You know, he's not going to say that. You know why? Because I'm worshiping him. Amen. Come on, lift your hands and praise and honor and glory. We're going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Worshiping him, Lord. He's your provider. He's your Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He's your healer. He's our banner. God, our banner. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his
like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh,
about that song again. Hallelujah. We worship and praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
We magnify you, Lord, and glorify you this morning for all your greatness and all your goodness. We can't thank you enough. And Father God, I pray that everybody in this place, as this day goes on, as it moves on into the afternoon and into the evening, that we won't lose our songs for you. And we'll still keep focused on you, Father, praising you and magnifying your name. We're going to have a time of prayer right now. We're going to do another worship song. We're going to do Revelations. And I just felt led this morning as I was praying and getting ready for the service today that if you have got a need, a prayer, something, you know, we talked about being freed up, being energized, you know, just another touch. And people say, well, you know, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I haven't been touched since. Well, boy, you're missing out on a lot. Because in the book of Acts, they came before the Lord, and they prayed and interceded, and they got another double dose of the Holy Ghost, and they got touched again. There's no reason to go around depressed and weary and tired in your spirits. Hallelujah. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So I don't know who you are today, whether it's somebody that's listening or somebody here this morning, but this altar is always open for you to come up for prayer and for ministry. Pastor Shirley is available if anybody wants prayer. But we're going to worship him this time called Worthy is the Lamb. In Jesus' name.
King of Kings,
Somehow we've got to remember the holiness of God, but we also got to remember that Jesus was a man, that he walked this earth as a human just like we did, that he was the Son of God. And today he seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, amen, making intercession and groanings for us. Hallelujah. What a combination we've got, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to take a minute to just pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. As we begin to intercede and to pray for our nation, for our leaders, for our pastor, for people in this church, and the symptoms of the flu and cold that's trying to wrap itself around people. Just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Lord,
I love you, and I
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you, praise and worship team. Remember this. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young folk tire and drop and stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and they soar like eagles. They run and they don't get tired. They walk and they don't lag behind. Amen. How we praise you, Jesus. How we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift up this church. I thank you for your manifested glory that's on the inside of all the believers. Lord, as we come into your presence and the power that's in that unity, for where two or more are gathered in my name, then there I am in the midst. Thank you, Father, for being in our midst today as we claim your word and promises in the Bible. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Pastor Shirley. Thank you, Jesus. The youth will be meeting in Miss Sherry's class again today. Thank you. After you're dismissed.
Am I on? I'm on now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. God is good, and what? All the time? God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I was going through some papers on my desk this morning. I found a prophetic word that I want to read to you. It doesn't have a date on it, but it very much applies to what we are believing God for this year about restoration. Amen. Y'all are awful quiet today. I wanted to share with you this morning because it's very relevant for right now. And the word is, step into the new, for this is the seasons of restorations. Amen. Yes, this is the season of turnaround. It seems as if things have gone one way for so long that it has become a prison. Suddenly, you will turn around into the blessings God has prepared for you. Not just one, but you shall see my hand move in families like never before. I know some may say it can never be, but I have not had the final say. How many knows there's no situation hopeless? Amen. The world may say, don't get your hopes up, don't expect too much. But that is not my way for you. You have been tempted to hide out, but I'm coming down to bring you out. And I'm the hope and the God of great expectation, and I desire to impart that to you. I will dot the I's and cross the T's, and by the Spirit of grace, it will all come together. Glory to God. For some have cried, when, God, when? No longer let your heart cry, be, when, but now, God. Now, I have the faith to believe now. Let it not be said, O you of little faith, when it seems as if all hell has come to your door to steal, kill, and to destroy. My spirit has come in like a flood. And you have not allowed that which you see to be of truth. How many knows that sometimes our eyes see things that's not really there, because those things that are seen are only temporary. All things are subject to change. And when God breathes life onto something, it has no choice but to live. Amen? You have stood when others have said to give up. They will never change. Why do you continue to believe? Oh, my goodness. You have stood when it seems as if things have gotten worse instead of better. You have clung to the truth, which is what my word has decreed, and you have stood in that and declared that to be a truth. Continue to hold fast and watch the impossible become possible because of your steadfastness to continue to believe in what I have said. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is for you, not against you. And he's trying to get it to you and not hide it from you. So you can no longer hide. God knows where you're at, and you're coming out. The Spirit of the Lord will draw you out into his presence. And God is all about families. Whether it's one, two, three, or four, he's all about family and restoration, because that's what makes the church. And that's why the enemy is so wanting to so attack family units. Because if he can get to the families, he can get to the church. And if he can destroy the church, how's the world going to hear the gospel? Because the Bible says the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon the land. And guess who the glory of the Lord is going to be seen through? You. Amen. We're going to talk about a man in the Bible today by the name of David. David. Many Sunday school lessons, if you was raised in church, or many Sunday school lessons, many sermons, many books have been written on David. Many, many, many. And as inspired and encouraging as they are, when you go begin to look in the book of Psalms especially, you will find that David's life, when he wrote these things, it was written during times of trouble, loneliness, isolation, and fear. And even in the midst of the trouble, the lonely times, the times of frustration and fear, the times that he did foolish things, the word said that David was a man after God's own heart. And how many knows that David messed up a few times? Amen. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is speaking before the men of Israel, and he tells them of God's feelings about David. You know, have you ever thought, how did God feel about David? You know, sometimes we think, how does God feel about you or about us? So he was speaking for the first king Saul. The Apostle Paul states, after removing Saul, he made David king. And he testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, and he will do everything that I desire him to do. So this is after a bunch of stuff David had gone through. He said, I still find David with a heart after me, and I still desire to use him. So it doesn't matter how bad you think you've messed up. As I said before, God can take that mess and make a testimony out of it. He can take that mess and make a message out of it. Amen? So it's not important about the past, because guess what the past is? You're right, the past. Self-pretty explanatory, right? The past is the past. You can't change what's happened. You only have now, and what you do now can change the future. Amen? So anyway, he testified concerning David. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything that I desire him to do. Because even though David may not have thought of himself as someone that would do everything that God wanted him to do, but God knew it. And he knew in the process of time, by the wooing of his spirit, that David would eventually become a man that deeply desired to do what God wanted him to do. So how could God call David a man after his own heart? Because we remember David as the man who committed adultery with Bathsheba. He was a failure as a father. He went on to be a murderer. You know, sometimes that's what we think of David, first of all. And sometimes we look at people's life, we'll say, well, they, you know, used to be that, or they praise God, there is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. You know, amen. So because we remember David as those things, but when we go back and read the book of Psalms, David begins to open his life up through the Psalms that we read and the successes and failures and the fact that he was far from perfect. He was far from being perfect with all his flaws and failures, but still here, something in David that longed to be what God desired him to be and to do what God desired him to do. There was still something in David that wanted to pursue God. So as inspired as encouraging, there are many of these psalms written after the fact of David being through some things. In the midst of going through that, he was still able to sing and to praise God. But in the midst of all that was going on in his life, his heart was pointed toward God to serve him. So what does it take to be a man or woman after God's own heart? It's not anything that we can do that makes us in right standing with God. It's simply accepting the fact by the blood of Jesus that you have been forgiven and you have been made in right standing with God at that moment. You can't make yourself no more righteous than what you are right now. No matter how bad that you've messed up or think that you've messed up, you're still in right standing with God. He has not rejected you. In Psalms 27:4, David says, "One thing I have desired." The one thing, David says, that I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that one thing that I desire, that one thing that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, David had the tabernacle in mind, because we know then that's where they had to go to be in the presence of God, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was at. But now his spirit has been written on our hearts and he lives within us because of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant, the person of Jesus Christ, the grace of God. So they worship in the courts, in the holy place, in the most holy place. He knew that is where the presence of the Lord would be. So he said, "One thing I've desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." One thing that we desire, church, is to be in the presence of God. We don't have to come here to be in the presence of God. One thing I desire is to be in the presence of God. And they worship in the courts in places like that then. Now that we have a better covenant, the Spirit has come to live within us, that may we dwell in the presence of God daily, that he may be such a part of us that we cannot be separated. Because who Jesus is in heaven is who we are in earth. Because we have been engrafted, we've been adopted, we're joint heirs now with Jesus. So as Jesus is in heaven, so are we in this earth. Because we're joint heirs with Jesus, heirs to God. That we may be such a part of, that he may be such a part of us that we cannot be separated. Who he is who I am. Amen. So that has present has engulfed us. To behold the beauty of the Lord, David says. To behold something is to gaze upon, to fix upon, to fixate upon, to gaze upon. It's just a simple act of noticing God with your eyes, but to look after him with pleasure and delight. And the more you behold God, the more you fall in love with him, because the more things that he will show you. There's something new. None of us have arrived yet about learning new things with God. There's always something else about his character that we can learn. So as we continue to behold him, we learn more about him. And to inquire in his temple, David said. So when we've been in the presence of him, and we gaze upon him, he puts a longing in our hearts to know him, to search him out, to continually pursue him, and to know him. So I found out that to genuinely cry out to God and meditating on him is not in trying to do it, but in simply focusing on him. And the more that I focus on God, the more that my soul cries out for more of him. The more that I want to be part of him, and the more I want my life to exemplify him. So it's not the fact that we have to cry out more for God. It's just simply starting to behold him in all of his beauty and to recognize who he is. And then out of that comes our worship and our praise as we behold and gaze upon him. So when you do that, my friend, it will cause you to worship. You can't help but worship when you start beholding God. There's something in you that you cannot hold it back. Amen. So what caused Isaiah to worship in the presence of the Lord? He said, "I saw the Lord sitting up on a throne and high lifted up." What caused Job to repent and turn from his sin? He said, "I've heard you by the hearing of the ear, But now my eyes have seen you. So he said, I heard about you, but then my eyes seen you. Then I beheld you, and it caused me to turn towards you. What caused the people to worship in the desert? And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his temple because they were in the presence of God. What caused John to worship the Word and declare him? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among them, and they beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We're talking about a man that was not perfect, but yet had a heart after God. A man that was not perfect, but still longed to do what God desired him to do. So we're going to be taking a look at four characteristics of David's life that will cause us maybe to understand why he continually had a heart after God, and that we may be able to incorporate that into our own lives, that we can pursue a heart after God. First thing that a characteristic of David had was he had absolute faith in God. Absolute faith in God, David had. Or he had faith in God, or the God kind of faith. In 1 Samuel 17, we read, David as a young shepherd boy, without fear, slew Goliath. Shortly before this took place, we see evidence of David's faith in verse 37, where he says, the Lord who delivered me. In other words, he put himself in remembrance of what God had done before through him. So he said, listen, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he's going to deliver me from this Philistine. Nobody else wanted to go. But David said, I'll go, because he had absolute faith that God had done it before and he would surely do it again. That's a heart that says, I know my God can, because he did it before and he's going to do it again. So David says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear is going to deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. He was aware that God was in control of his life. Having a heart after God is saying, God, I know that you're in control of my life. He had faith that God would deliver him. So how else would he be able to venture into a situation that did not look good? Because he absolutely had faith in God that God would deliver him and take care of him. And David knew early on in life that God was to be trusted and obeyed. We have a heart after God, we are fully persuaded that he is able. And you know, when you're fully persuaded of something, you can't be talked out of it. When you are fully persuaded of something, can't nobody talk you out of it. You know, when you know that God's done something for you in spite of the naysayers, they just talk and let them talk. You know, you are fully persuaded. You are fully persuaded. Your heart is set on the fact that if I continue to hold to God's unchanging hand, he's going to make a way. He is going to make a way. That is having a heart after God. Putting yourself in remembrance that God did it before. He did it for the people of the Bible. I've seen him do it in your lives. And if he done it for this, that, and those in the Bible, he'll surely do it for me. Because he is no respecters of persons. Second thing that's a characteristic of David having a heart after God is he loved God's law. He loved God's law. Of the 150 Psalms of the Bible, we understand that David is credited to writing over half of them. And as I said before, that as inspiring and encouraging as they were when we go read them, there were many of them written in the middle of David going through something or after David went through something. In the midst of that, he was still able to say, my God is faithful, and I love his word. So David repeatedly mentioned how much he loved God's perfect word. In Psalms 119, David says, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. But also notice how he mentions that he meditates on the word of God. To have a heart after God is to love God's word. Because you know within this word that you can find deliverance, that you can find freedom to live your life while you're here on this earth. Because church, when we get to heaven, we won't need this word. It'll all be completed then. We'll meet the word himself. Amen. But some of us need a little help on the way. Glory to God. Amen. So we have to learn to love the word of God. To say, you know, that word is not for my disadvantage, but it's for my advantage. It tells me how to conduct my life here on this earth right now that I can get the help. while on the way. Amen. So we find in Psalms, David said, I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. But how hard after God is to love his word. Psalms 119 says, your word have I hid in my heart. Your word I've hid in my heart. And at the times that I had that word in my heart when I need it, at the times that I need it, I'll be able to withdraw on it. That's why when the sun is shining in our life, we still get into the word. We still get into that word and hide it in our hearts, because there is a rainy day going to come to all of us. Amen. There is a rainy day that's going to come to all of us. And on those rainy days, you can draw out the word and you can say, Lord, I love your word, and the sun's going to shine again. I meditate on the precepts of your word because I know the sun's going to shine again. Hallelujah. So Joshua 1:8, Joshua says, the book of the law, the word, shall not depart out of my mouth. But I'll meditate in it day and night, that I may observe and do according to all that's written in it. Then you will make my way prosperous, and you'll deal wisely, and you'll have good success. So he says, your word, I'm going to take it, I'm going to meditate on it, I'm going to dwell in it. And then when I do that, I obey what it says for me to do. My way will be successful. My way will be prosperous, because I know that's the way to God's abundant riches. Amen. Because they just don't fall on people just to fall on people. You know, it's not a lack of faith we need. It's the lack of believing. You know, when the man called Jesus to come and heal his son, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. He says, you know, I've got faith that you can do it, but you need to help the part of me that don't believe. Amen. So then you'll have your way, your path successful, and your way prosperous. The third thing that David had did that was a heart that was directed toward God that we can apply to our lives is that he was thankful. David was a person that was very thankful. You know, there's a lot of ungrateful Christians. They want something and they want more. Then they're never satisfied. They're never satisfied. David says, I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. You know, as we studied the life of David in the book of Psalms, and he begins to give us the stories about his life, he had seasons of great peace. He had seasons of great prosperity. But he also had seasons of times of fear and despair and wondering, as Laverne said, where are you, God? Where are you, God? But even in the midst of that, David had a heart that served God and wanted to go after God. Psalms 104 says, I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I will give thanks to him and I will bless his holy name. Remember, I remember one time when I was writing this down that I gave a prophetic word, and I remember one phrase in the word the Lord said that he said to the people, it says, a thankful heart I will not pass by. A thankful heart. When you begin to worship God and you just begin to thank him for his goodness, Lord, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've been there for me when nobody else was. Thank you, Lord, that I've waked this morning, that I know who I am. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. God will come on the scene for you when you begin to thank him and praise him. Because his ears are attentive to the cries of his people. So I want to encourage you to do something this week. Take one day this week and don't ask God for anything. Don't ask God. Don't petition him. Don't come boldly into his throne room crying out to him for anything. But I want you to spend all day just being thankful. Come on, somebody. I just want you to pick one day this week. And I just want you to get up and you just say, Lord, I'm going to dedicate this day in thankfulness to you. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to petition you for anything. I'm not going to worry about anything. But remind me all day long just to be thankful for you. Thankful to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that my car started. It may be missing a little, but it started. It got me to my job that you gave me. Lord, I want to thank you for my job. Hallelujah. I want to thank you that you blessed me today to work while I work. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord, that I have money to buy something to eat with when some people don't have any money to buy anything to eat with. I want to thank you, Lord, that I can think and I can make decisions because you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to thank you today. I want to spend today thanking you, Lord, because you've been good to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to thank you today, Lord. And I want to challenge you with that this week. Then I want you to come back next week, and I want you to tell me what happened. Because when you begin to have a thankful heart, things don't begin to look as dim as they did before. You know, thank God for the children, for my children, the word that I sowed into them, God. It's not gone void. It's not fell to the ground dead, but it's a seed that will come to life. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So I want you to take a day this week, and I want you to just say, today is the day of thankfulness. I'm just going to thank you all day long, God. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost on that, church. Just lift your hands right now and close your eyes and just begin to thank God. Hallelujah. The devil tried to mess you up, but you're still here. He tried to hook you on this and hook you on that. And for a while, you were, but God delivered you and brought you out. Hallelujah. Oh, hashoto rebabababahasaya. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may come from this family that was like this, but God said you've been adopted into a new family. You're heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you this morning for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. We're thankful today that we are involved in a church that has preached and for our pastors that has preached and taught us the word of God, hallelujah, that we're made in right standing with you, not something that we have to work for. It's because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God will not pass by a thankful heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just spend a day being thankful. And when we're thankful for the goodness of God in our lives, it touches the very heart of God. Psalms 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord. God wants you to get happy just because you're you. Just because you're you, he wants you to be happy for yourself. Glory to God, because ain't nobody knows where God brought you from except you sometimes. Amen. So God says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. Be thankful, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Fourth thing that David did is he was truly repentant. He truly knew how to repent. And you know, I was raised in the church. Then I found out later on in life when I began to really get into the Word and receive the teachings of my pastor that repenting wasn't coming to the altar and just crying and boo-hooing and clinging to the altar and just hoping and begging and pleading maybe God would forgive me of something or running to the altar every week because I said something wrong or did something. But I'll tell you what repentance is. Repentance is simply missing the mark. And we'll get into that just in a minute. And you know the story of David and Bathsheba. But that one thing led to adultery, it led to lying, and it led to murder. He had sinned against God, and he admits it. David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord puts away your sin, you'll not die. So David's prayer of repentance to God was, have mercy on me, God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from sin. So, you know, it's like I said, I'm not talking about the repentance of some of us grew up in traditional churches that you beg and plead God to forgive you every time you stump your toe or do something wrong, but where you have to go to the altar and beg and cry out to God. So whatever sin you've committed yesterday, the sin you're going to commit today, and the sin you're going to commit tomorrow, because none of us are perfect, has already been nailed to the cross. Because God knows you're going to mess up today. God knows you're going to mess up tomorrow because we're all a work in progress. And I want you to know that it's already been nailed to the cross. Amen? So it was nailed to the cross. Sin is defined as missing the mark. But it's simply as acknowledging you that whatever I'm involved in, that nudging of the Spirit that says, now, Shirley, what you have to do is say, God, I missed the mark here. And then turn around and walk away from it. Because you know that thing that you're doing, that thing that you're involved in, it's not enriching your relationship with God. It's not enriching your relationship with yourself. And it's not enriching your relationship with other people. soldiers say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've really missed it here. Then do not put yourself under condemnation at that point. Simply walk away from it. Simply just, as Laverne said, quit doing it. Amen. That is what repentance is. Because everything that you've already done is already nailed to the cross. It's already been covered with the blood of Jesus. So thank you, Lord, that I've been forgiven by your grace and mercy. And your help, I repent and I turn away and I go the other way. So let us not forget that David was a person just like us. He was a person that was subject to flaws and failures and sin. You know, but all the ups and downs of life, in the midst of doing everything stupid, foolish, and all the good things he did, his heart was always, God, I desire you. I desire to be in your presence. I desire to follow hard after you. I desire to know you, God. Because in knowing you is fullness of life. It's fullness of life. And I desire to be in your presence more than anything. More than anything. Having a heart after God. Having a faith, not in your faith. But I have faith in a great big God that can do great big things. Amen. Having a heart after God is having love for his word. For it's in his word that we find out who he is. And in finding out who he is, I find out who I am. You know, it's who's what, when, where, that message I preached that time. Finding out who he is, and about the time we find out him out, he surprises us with something new about him, and we get to fall in love with him all over again. We get to say, oh God, you're just too good to me. Hallelujah. Having a heart after God is having a thankful heart, being grateful, appreciative of what he has done. Having a heart after God, being willing to repent and saying, you know, I missed it in that area, but I want my relationship with God to be all that it can be so that I can have a relationship with myself and a relationship with other people. Because a lot of times the reason that we don't get along with other people and we don't get along with God sometimes is because we don't like ourselves. And the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself, and it's okay to love yourself. It's okay to think you're all of that and much more because God says you're all of that and much more. So if we don't think of ourselves as we ought to think according to the Word of God, how can we expect anybody else to love us, to appreciate us, and to be good to us? Amen. So God wants you to love yourself because he first loved you. Amen. So having a heart after God has been one to say, I repent, I missed the mark. And when our relationship is right with him, it can be right with us. And then it can be right with everyone else. It makes a relationship right with everything and right with the world, no matter what's going on. Having a heart after God is positioning yourself as if through faith, thankful heart, knowing that he's good to you and he's got good things coming your way. And this is the year of restoration. This is the year of restoration. Laverne opened for prayer a while ago, and I want to do it one more time. And if you want special prayer this morning, you come up here, and I want to pray for you and come into agreement with you and what the Word has already said. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Just stand to your feet right now. If no one wants prayer, we'll just pray. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
We need us to She's going through, I'm not sure, I want to lift her up in prayer. She's going through some issues, and I believe it's stemming from the divorce of her parents. She's just having some problems with being herself.
Still. Okay. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we just lift her up to you right now in the name of Jesus, that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. At succeeding its intended purpose, God. But I speak peace over this little one's life, over her mind, over her body, for all of it to come into alignment according to your word, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the plan and purpose that you have for her, that it will not be aborted. But the word that's being sown into her, God, is not sown into ground that is dry, but it's sown into fruitful soil, God. And I thank you for healing taking place in her mind right now, Father. For memories, God. I thank you for healing the memories, God. Yes. Oh, Father God, just heal and restore and bring to life now, Father God. And we thank you for that. Thank
In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, shoto kosia tandalarianto do orama baba hasoto isa mama mama haya. Kora baba baba hasoto yesindalarialo soto rama baba haya. Kora shoto si baba baba haya. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shotore baba mama ke sia shotore baba baya. Oh, ye santo re mama mama shoto sidadadia. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I just pray for my sister right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that the double portion is her blessing. That you would fill her overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit again. Renewing within her, God, and restoring within her, God, all that you've spoken to her, that all of your promises are yes and amen. And I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. For her steps that are ordered by you, God, that they do not falter. A heart, God, that seeks you, a heart that desires you, a heart, God, that longs to be in your presence. And for the song of the Lord that's upon our heart, that the enemy has tried to come and to steal, I thank you for renewing that, God. For bringing that back to life in Jesus' name. Oh, for the anointing that's resting upon her, God. Let it be unto her according to your word, Father. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. Fresh and anew comes upon you now, bringing you into your place of destiny and purpose, bringing you into your place of destiny and purpose, as the Spirit woos you into His presence to speak to your heart, to encourage you and to confirm. Once again, that He is God. And He's got it all under control. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Miriam, what I'm seeing is you sitting at a desk, and the desk is in disarray. There is clutter and everything on the desk, and you begin to say, well, how on earth is this ever going to come together? I can't straighten this out. I don't even know where to start. And God wants to reassure you that you don't need to know how it's all going to come together. He says, just begin to praise me, and in your praising, I will put things in order where they need to go. I will cause everything to be put into order where they need to go as you praise me and as you worship me. Because I know how it needs to all come together. I need to know, I already know how it's to be in order and the way it's to be in order. And it's not so much that you're frustrated. It's like you're like, well, I don't know how all this is going to get cleaned up. I don't know how all this is going to get straightened out. God says, just begin to praise Him, and He is going to put it into order, and He's going to put it into place where it needs to go, and you will know, you will know that all is well. And I thank you for just flooding her, Father God, with your Spirit. Out of her belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, am I not the God of more than enough? And I would say unto you, my children, that I am, and I have brought you into the land of plenty. And in the land of plenty, you will be able to give and to give and to give, says God, because that is your heart's desire. And when your heart is fixed on with a cheerful giver, I will bless. So I say, continue to praise me in the midst of adversity, in the midst of things not looking as the way they should. For in the plant, in the land of plenty, you have more than enough. You will have more than enough to do what is needed for my kingdom. For in my kingdom, all things are possible. So learn to rest in me. Learn to lay back on me. And let me whisper into your ears that it's okay. Receive. Receive your time of plenty for me. And watch and see that I will do what you've longed and desired for me to do. For I am untying the hands that have held you back. And you will no longer be held back from what I have called and destined you to do. For you are in the land of plenty, says the Spirit of grace. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We receive that word today, God. We receive that word today, God. That we are living in the land of plenty. That we have more than enough. And that we're not just so concerned about ourselves. But we receive that word to be able to bless others, God. And to spread the gospel to the nations. To spread your gospel to the nations, God. To spread your gospel to the nations. For even under the sound of my voice right now, God, there are prophets. There are teachers, and there are apostles, and there are preachers being raised up, God, as you speak to them. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name, that you put within us a hunger again, God, a hunger to pursue you no matter the cost. A hunger, God, that says without you we will surely die. But you have caused us to live again. Restoration is our portion. Restoration is our portion. And you're giving back, Lord, double what the enemy has stolen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Sore baba bakisato o sondo dodia santa da kata da daya. Ila torre baba bosoto y shando dodiana na da conta arma baba osia. Yesi corre mama mo shondo dodiana na soto rama babaya. O y sando dodica shema mama hosoto o satadaria. Hallelujah. You can run, but you can't hide from the anointing and calling of God. And in your pursuit of many things, God says, by His Spirit, I will woo you back into my presence, and I will speak to your heart what I desire for you to do. For you are precious in my sight, and I love you, and I love you, says the Spirit of the Lord. And no longer let it be in your mind you can't when God says that you can. For in me you can do all things. So become fully persuaded today. Become fully persuaded today that I am the God of more than enough. That I am the God of more than enough. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Caleb. I thank you for this precious, precious soul, God. Just refill her with your precious Holy Spirit right now, God. Thank you for the anointing.
that's upon her life, that she will roar like a lion, that she will roar like a lion, because that's the spirit within you. That is the spirit that's within you that the enemy wants to quieten and to keep silent. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father God. Just refill her with your Holy Spirit right now, God. Shura baba baki soto na da da da. No teli sato na tilata na na makideri ashuto kora baba baya. Your feet has been anointed to run swiftly. Your feet has been anointed to run swiftly, and they will see the God of more than enough in the land of plenty. In the land of plenty, it's not anything that you have to work up or make happen, but as you pursue God in His timing, it will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just call these people blessed. I thank you that your favor surrounds them as a shield. And God, they can't get away from your goodness this week. They cannot get away from your goodness this week. I speak a blessing over them coming. I speak a blessing over them going. And I thank you, Father God, that you take care of all that concerns them. And that nothing that has happened or will happen has taken you by surprise. Because you're the God that knows all things. And that our heart seeks you most of all this week. To know you in all of your glory. And the church said, amen.
blessed place He has prepared. For if the storms don't cease, and just in case the wind, He keeps on blowing in my life. Has been anchored in the Lord, the Lord. Oh, yeah. I realize that sometimes in this life you're gonna be caught by the waves and the currents. But in the Word of God, I've got an anchor, and it keeps me steadfast, not movable, despite the tide. But if the storm don't cease, and just in case keep on blowing in my life, my hope has been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. My hope has been my soul, my soul, oh yeah, my soul's